This is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, and today's conversation with World War II Marine Corps veteran Bob Andre of Las Vegas, Nevada, a recipient of the Purple Heart and the Silver Star for his actions during July 1944 in the Battle of Saipan. We're going to hear about that in a moment. We've already heard about his experience as a 17-year-old Marine at Tarawa, a bloody battle that claimed the lives of nearly 1,700 Americans and wounded more than 2,000 more in November of 1943. So, as you say, you leave there, that one square mile of hell, as it's famously been called, and go back to Hawaii. What was that like? I mean, was that a relief, or are you bracing for the next battle?
Well, we went back to Hawaii. First of all, we stopped at Honolulu to drop off the wounded and the dead. We buried a number of them at sea, but they had a number of them they still had to bury. We pulled in there and dropped off the wounded and the dead. Then they took us to the Big Island. They dropped us off, trucked us up to where our camp was going to be, right across where they dropped us off on one side. On the other side was a beautiful army camp. But we couldn't stay there. So we had to sleep out in the ground at nighttime, and we had to build our own quarters. Brought CBs in to build them, and they brought tents in. We built the platforms. But I lucked out on that duty. The CBs came over to get us to help them build the tents. And being 17, not knowing I'm young, the CBs that I went with took me over to the mess of their mess hall and said, now order what anything you want, steaks, ice cream, anything you want, which I did. Then we went out to build the tents. We got out there, and they said, now we want you to sit right here and watch us and tell us about the battle. So that's all I did.
Wow.
So good duty.
Although I'm sure what you had to tell them wasn't a pleasant topic.
No, but they were working, building our tents with their mouths open, listening. They were very good, very nice. Again, they were in their late 30s, you know, they're old people, yeah, but they took care of me.
And I know we're going to get on to another battle and some more situations that could have and almost did claim your life. But being out there, so far from where you grew up, you know, your stepdad's gone and joined the Navy, your mother's died, you're far away from your brother. Did you ever get lonely or feel like, you know, what am I going towards? What's going to happen in my life?
No, I never thought anything about it. Well, I just paid attention to my training, mm-hmm. and even in civilian life, I used some of the training.
How so?
Well, one of the jobs I had going through life was a lieutenant in the sheriff's office, and I ended up capturing a couple of murderers, which hit all the national TVs and everything.
Where was that?
Sonora, California, Tuolumne County.
So what were the military skills that you used to catch a murderer?
Well, when I kicked the doors in, the first one I didn't kick in, I thought I was some cowboy or something. I just didn't care. But the second one, came right off the hinges, and I had to wrestle with them. And then later on, when I went out on a domestic problem, I walked around the back like that, and when the guy was standing there with a deer rifle pointing right at my belly. Ooh. I just kept on walking, and when I got close enough, I just dove at him, grabbed the rifle, and we wrestled away.
What years would that have been?
60s into 60s, long time ago.
So more than 20 years after your service in the war, but without that Marine Corps training, maybe you had a different result.
Could be. I don't know, but because on the next island, I had a hand-to-hand with a Jap to death.
Well, yeah, and we'll hear about that. So you have this first battle as a 17-year-old. You come back to Hawaii. You've got that R&R.
No R&R.
No R&R? No, I mean, sitting around telling stories to CBs, well, as an R&R?
No, that wasn't R. That was work. I was assigned to work.
Sounds like you were jealous of the guys who did have R&R.
Well, to me, R&R was when you went someplace and did something. The only R&R we had, they barbed wire around a beach, and they put Marine guards all around, and they put cases of beer out there, and I didn't drink. I didn't even have one beer, and that was our R&R.
So were you starting to wonder when you're going to get deployed again into action, when the next invasion is going to be?
We knew as soon as we got a full complement of Marines, then we'd be going, and that didn't take long. Yeah.
So where'd they send you?
Well, from Hawaii, we sailed out to the different islands. just going to where we were heading, which was Mariana Islands, Saipan. 6 months later, we hit the island of Saipan.
And you mentioned how your first invasion, you weren't in the first wave. What about at Saipan?
Second wave, which is the worst wave. Because the first wave, they don't know where you're coming in. The second wave, now they know. They moved all the big guns over to where we were coming in.
And this same role that you have in a machine gun squad?
No, I was number four then. But before the battle, I was number one. You lose them as you go along. Yeah.
So walk me through that. What did you experience as you came ashore on Saipan?
Well, when we first came ashore, we were a nice area. We were able to see out some field we were going to go through. A nice field, easy, not too high grass, but no trees or anything like that. And our captain was out in front of us telling us, come, charge, come, calling us. And next thing we knew, he was killed. He was shot dead, you know. Then the first lieutenant took over, and he was smarter. He stayed back further with the group, and he led us till we got up to where we were staying for the night. Then we settled down. The next day, we kept on going. We stayed on the front line for 15 days, I think it was, with not constant fighting, about every other day or something like that. And but we kept losing guys, you know. We were chasing the Japs to the end of the island, where Suicide Cliff was. You've probably heard of that, where the women threw the babies over the cliff and all that.
They were told this lie, really, this propaganda, what you guys would do to them.
Right, absolutely. And so we were stopped because we didn't want to kill any more. There were women and children up there. And so we were pulled back on the 15th day, I think it was. We were pulled back to Garapan, little town there, and for relief, we were taken off the line. And we bedded down on the beach, and first thing in the morning when we got up, there was a bunch of Army trucks out there, which they weren't ours, and they told us to load up. We're taking us back on the line. They said the Japs broke the last bonsai attack. They broke through the Army, ran over the Army. We were put in second line as reserves. Don't shoot in front of you because the Army is there. Anyway, I was on guard duty that night from midnight until time to get up, 6 o'clock or something like that. And I'm sitting in my feet in a foxhole, my back against a tree, with my pistol laying on my lap. I had a .45 at that time. Nothing was going on. All of a sudden, I look, all these guys are coming at me. And I couldn't see them, so I knelt down. I'm looking, and they were close enough. I could see they were Japs. So I started hollering, they were Japs, Japs. And I start firing. Well, I only had 8 shots. I always put one in the chamber, then I put the clip in, which is 7. And so first thing I start doing is start shooting at them because they were closer than she is. And just shooting at them, you know, all around. And I ran out of ammo. And the guy coming at me, he was with a bayonet rifle. He didn't shoot, so I figured after that he was out of ammunition too. So I jumped up when he was coming at me with that bayonet. I just threw my pistol at him, and it hit him someplace. Then I jumped up and grabbed the rifle, just like I did later, years later.
Yeah.
I grabbed the rifle, and so we wrestled. Now, one of the guys in the foxhole put his carbine up underneath the Japs' area here, and just unloaded the rifle, the carbine. And the others, what was left, retreated. But we were on the top of a hill like that. And when I was fighting with that guy, he was on right on the crest. They start going down. Well, then all the ones that were left, couldn't see him. So I got back down the foxhole. And I didn't have my machine gun at the time. I'd lost it in a fight earlier. Anyway, I walked over to there are 2 first lieutenants. One was an acting captain, the other was his executive officer. And I told him if I had my machine gun, I could have got most of them. Now I'm 18 years old. I think I know what I'm doing. Anyway, just then I heard a guy hollering, help, help, help. So I just jumped up, and I didn't know why, but I ran out there to help him. The guy was holding this guy that fell back in his arm when he got shot. He was already dead. And the other guy was standing holding him. Well, I ran around to pick up his feet, and he got shot. And he went down, so I went down too. And I crawled around to him to see if I could help him. As I said, the other guy was dead. So I just started dragging him, and I didn't get shot. I got a hand grenade in my leg, shrapnel in my leg. That ended me. That was the end of my war experience right there.
So I'm guessing that I know you're a recipient of the Purple Heart and the Silver Star.
Yeah.
Those both come in that one action right there that you're talking about?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I got the hand grenade.
Yeah.
So that was the Purple Heart.
And you were risking your own life to try to save another, thus the Silver Star.
That's what it amounts to.
Yeah. Let's fill in some blanks, though. Right before that, you're saying if I had had my machine gun, I could have taken them out. So that situation where you're on guard duty and your pistol's on your lap and you see all these Japanese running towards you in the dark.
Yeah.
How badly were you guys outnumbered there?
Well, at that particular time, I have no idea, but all I know, there was a lot of them coming.
And you unload every round that you have.
Eight. Yeah. I did have time to reload.
And then it's hand-to-hand combat. I mean, it's you or him.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what happened there, yeah.
Had you ever, I'm sure you trained for that a little bit, but...
No. Oh, yeah, we had bayonet training and all that kind of stuff.
Does your adrenaline start pumping a little bit?
That's why I think I went out there. I was already, I had that going and I didn't know it. After thinking about it often, why did I do such a stupid thing? Because I could see the Japs out there, all of them shooting at us. Mm-hmm. And I ran right into it. We were told not to do that.
But it sounds like you didn't hesitate.
Well, evidently not, no.
And you weren't scared during any of this?
I don't remember being scared. I was too busy doing something.
So you go to help this guy. The other guy that he was trying to help is dead.
Yeah.
Then he's wounded. And as you're trying to drag him away, what happened? You hear a noise? You feel something? What stopped you?
Well, I felt that piece of metal go into my leg, you know. Mm-hmm. And when I looked down, your body has a lot of pressure, blood pressure. Mm-hmm. And it was shooting like crazy. I mean, up high out of the leg, you know.
So you feel something hit your leg, you look down, and blood is squirting out of there like being shot from a gun.
Yeah, yeah.
Were you starting to get scared yet then?
No. I don't remember ever getting scared.
Wow.
Ever. That doesn't mean that I was brave or anything like that. It was just, I think I was out of my mind, to tell you the truth.
The adrenaline and the intensity of the situation had taken over?
Yeah. And if I had my machine gun, and you're talking about on guard duty, my machine gun would have been in the foxhole where these other two guys were, because we have three in there.
Did I ask you how you lost it?
It was during another fight. Bullet took it out.
So it wasn't functional anymore?
No.
It wasn't like you misplaced it. They knocked it out.
I didn't misplace it, no. I could use it, so they just kept it back in where we were R&R, supposedly. Suppose 1 hour or 1 night. Yeah.
I guess that's a question, too, and not to bounce around here, but you said 15 days of combat there on Saipan.
Yeah.
Did you guys have enough to eat, to drink?
Yeah. Had all the food we wanted. Always sea rations, little cans like that. Uh-huh. Tastes terrible.
You guys were aware of what was happening with that suicide cliff and what the Japanese were telling them?
I didn't have any idea about that. All I knew is that we were stopped because there was women and kids up there.
You learn more about that later, I guess.
Yeah.
So... the hand grenade hits, goes into your leg, you're squirting blood everywhere.
I dragged that guy back to a foxhole, first one I ran into, put him in there, and the corpsman came over to start taking care of him, because they could see me, but they couldn't see him, they were still shooting at me. So I crawled, looking for another hole, going over that road, over the hill, trying to get away from their sight.
I had to be losing a lot of blood.
Well, yeah, but the corpsman came back to me, and he used my medical pack, put it on there, and then wrapped it around the leg to stop the bleeding. But it didn't stop it because pressure was so high that the blood was washing away the medicine that he put on there. And it went right through the padding he put on there. It went right through it and still squirting up. Yeah.
And you were still conscious?
Yeah, I was conscious all the time.
Were you in pain?
If I was, I didn't know it. I really don't remember any pain.
So what did they finally have to do to stop the bleeding and save your life?
Well, put a new Band-Aid on until it finally stopped, yeah.
Well, that's a relief, and I hope none of you listening right now got too squeamish with that description. We'll give you a moment to catch your breath. You'll find a short video of Bob Andre at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page, and you'll hear what the government thought of his heroics on Saipan. when Hometown Heroes comes right back after this. Have you ever looked at a box of old videotapes or photos and said, one of these days I'm going to do something with those? I know the feeling. But more importantly, I found the solution at VHSmaster.com. VHS Master will take all your old VHS and 8mm tapes and reels and convert them to DVDs and digital videos, ensuring that your priceless memories will last for years to come. They'll even preserve and restore photos, slides, and audio cassettes. Go to VHSmaster.com. That's VHSmaster.com. And tell them you heard about them on Hometown Heroes.